deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. They were friends of mine.
That's the way it works.
Jack, Logan doesn't confess. How far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
Welcome to 24 Under Review, your one-stop shop for all things 24.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Previously on 24.
Due to some complications with her husband, Karen is forced to fire Bill, who, although is not happy about it, goes through with it because it is what needs to be done to distance the blame for the attacks of the day from the White House. An FB sub-circuit board from one of the nukes is handed over to the Chinese by Jack, and the circuit board would have been blown up as well as Jack, but Doyle had to interfere, so now we have this big storyline. And the Russian President Sugarov discovers this from one of his agents, who has been getting this information from the Vice President's girlfriend. And Cheng, the Chinese agent in possession of the board, orders an attack on CTU for Josh Bauer, of all people. His grandfather is repairing the circuit board, and in exchange, he has requested that he get his grandson, Josh. So Cheng obviously agrees with this because it is the key to Russian defenses, and with that they can effectively defeat the Russian defense technology. A few minutes after Josh gets out of CTU, Jack eventually gets there and rescues him, but not with losses. Cheng has escaped, and Philip Bauer isn't too happy about that because he wants his grandson in exchange for the board, so he tells the Chinese they will not be getting their circuit board back. As Jack is getting on a helicopter to go back to CTU with his nephew, Doyle takes the boy, much to Jack's dismay, and they are off to go and exchange with Philip Bauer, who has called the president and requested that he get his grandson Josh in exchange for the sub-circuit board, which is about to cause a war in the Asian front between Russia and the U.S.
The following takes place between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Now, this first few minutes of the episode was some of the coolest shots I've seen the whole season. The helicopter with Josh and Doyle in it is flying, it has to be 50 feet above the ocean, and it just looks so cool. And as they are in there, Doyle is talking to Josh about what he's going to do and how they're going to have to turn him over to Philip, but they don't plan to leave him with Philip. They will recover him. And Josh isn't too happy about this. As we've seen the entire season, he's not too cool with his grandfather, especially after he was about to kill him. And then Doyle tells him they'll track him down and get him, and with that, he injects a tracking device into Josh's arm and promises to save him. Now, when do these little tracking devices work? Look back at Gradenko, who had this stuff going through his bloodstream, which was oddly enough only strong enough in his arm to be trackable. He chopped that off. And with Josh, they did what I thought was the same thing, but we will later learn is, I think, different, but I'm not positive. I think they should just, you know, put whatever the isotopes or whatever it was into Gradenko, just inject enough of that it'll be in all of his blood, and they can track him like that. With that behind us, Jack pleads with the agents that are detaining him that it is wrong to give Josh to Philip, and it is their orders to bring him back to the detention facility. And obviously he's not happy about this because he knows how much Josh does not like his grandfather. Now, this I would think there would be legal issues with this because it is basically kidnapping because they don't have his mom's permission. They don't have his permission to do this. And I guess right when they hop in the helicopter, they kind of get Josh's permission as they're flying over the ocean. But later he will take back that permission. Daniels begs Suvorov for forgiveness and asks him to resend the military that is ready to attack and give him more time. And Daniels informs him he is making a trade with the man who has the circuit board. Karen excuses herself from the little meeting they're having when her cell phone rings, and it's Jack. Jack tries to convince her not to bargain with Philip because Philip will not give up the circuit board. It's his only leverage against the Chinese, and although Karen agrees, the vice president feels it's the only way to avoid a war. Jack cannot do anything because he is in CTU custody, and he demands Karen to do whatever is necessary to stop the trade. And then she goes and tells Lennox that Jack is convinced Philip will find a way to prevent the U.S. from retrieving the circuit board. And she asks Lennox to circumvent Daniel's authority, to convince him to stop the trade-off. But Lennox is wary of doing that because he's already been distrusted by the president, so he doesn't think that will get them anywhere. But he does agree to look the other way if she goes behind the vice president's back. Buchanan is at home with a few investigators standing around when his cell phone rings, and he sees that it's Karen and doesn't pick it up. FBI agents are going through his personal belongings under the order of a subpoena, and they picked up a photo album which he told them not to look at, so I don't know why he's so worried about that, unless it's just him and Karen or something. And the home phone rings, and then he goes and listens to the automatic answering machine, and Karen begs him to answer that she needs him, and he picks up, and then Karen details on Jack's dilemma, and she asks Buchanan to do whatever it takes to stop the exchange. As the CTU staff watches the satellite on their chopper, it lands at the beach, and Doyle unloads Josh, and they wait under a light post with the picnic table right over there. Doyle's cell phone rings, and Morris patches into it so they can listen, but because it's scrambled, they will not be able to track it, and Philip instructs Doyle to have CTU shut down their satellite feed because somehow he got into their system. I would assume this went down when the Chinese shut down their system and they just left him an easy route into it. And Morris confirms this is true, but he doesn't know how, so he closes the satellite feed. And fortunately, Philip cannot see the tracking system implanted in Josh. Philip sees the satellite go offline, and then he orders Doyle to dismiss the helicopter. And Doyle puts Josh on the phone at Philip's request, and Josh tells his grandfather that he hates him, and then Philip says he will not be safe in America because of Graham's involvement in the terrorist plot. He also tells Josh that he is the only one capable of making Josh the man the kind of man his father should have been. And with that, he hangs up and tells his men to go pick up Josh. Nadia tells Doyle they haven't yet figured out how to circumvent Philip from tapping into the satellite. And Chloe preps Doyle to upload the components data into his PDA so that they can confirm it's true before they do the trade-off. And then Doyle tells Nadia he plans to retrieve Josh if he sees a chance, and she orders him not to do it. Karen calls Nadia and requests to view the internal deployment grid in order to track Jack's transfer to a detention facility. And while Nadia is annoyed, she does give Karen the security code to access the grid. And rooms away, Marilyn Bauer is causing commotion because she's demanding to see her son, which as of now is sitting right off the coast, waiting to be picked up by his grandfather. Nadia goes in and tries to calm her, and she tells her that Josh is being held at division for questioning, and Marilyn knows that he's a minor and she needs to be with him, and she threatens to call her lawyers and take down CTU, especially Nadia. Nadia then has Morris send additional security to deal with her and put her in holding, and Chloe questions why Morris is obediently following orders when he knows it isn't right to put Josh at risk. Morris tells Doyle he believes what he is doing is absolutely necessary, and Doyle doesn't sound too happy when he says, "The next time I want your opinion, I'll ask for it." A truck is driving head-on towards the SUV carrying Jack, and this is obviously Bill, and the CTU vehicle swerves off the road, and as the agent driving goes to investigate, he notices it's Bill, and at the same time, Jack is in the car, and he steals the second agent's gun and forces the man to handcuff himself. The guard outside draws his weapon, and Buchanan makes his way down towards the guard, and the guard tells him not to move forward or he will shoot him, but Bill knows better than this and knows that the guard will not shoot him, and Jack sees a chance and he emerges from the car and knocks the agent out. Buchanan briefs Jack that Doyle is still waiting with Josh for instruction from Philip, and they leave in Buchanan's truck for the exchange site. Stuart Pressman arrives at CTU to collect his brother's body, and then Chloe hugs him, and there will be a little bit more dramatic scene later involving Stuart, and Karen is surprised when her clearance to CTU's grade is blocked. She calls Buchanan, who confirms that he has Jack, and then Karen thanks him for her sacrifice, and she goes on to tell Bill that they probably know that she is the one who gave out the location of Jack, and right as that happens, Karen apologizes and said goodbye as the Secret Service comes in to arrest her. Nadia admits to Stuart Pressman that Milo died while saving her life, and Stuart acknowledges that Milo was in love with her. Chloe alerts Nadia that Jack has escaped with help from Buchanan, and Chloe references that Buchanan agreed with Jack about how he not to use Josh as a pawn, and Nadia orders another tack team to intercept Buchanan and Jack, and if anyone has been keeping track of how many tack teams they've gone through, please email that to me. What is it? Our comments at 2400view.com, I believe. And it's just ridiculous. They must be getting backup on backup from all their other divisions. Probably San Francisco's giving them a few, and I would guess Division. And with that, Josh begs Doyle not to hand him over to his crazy grandfather, but Doyle gives him his word that they will get him back. Nadia radios Doyle that Jack has escaped and is on the way there, aided by Karen and Bill. They can't move tag teams in because of Philip's demands, and Doyle says he will handle Jack by himself. Daniels comes to see Karen in a Secret Service holding cell, and she admits that she was using secure information to help Buchanan break out, or to help Buchanan break Jack out of custody. And Karen says she learned one thing from dealing with Fayed: never negotiate with a psychopath. And you know, I thought the policy over there in the White House was never negotiate with terrorists, but we can see that these basically all of the administrations that involve Palmers have, and I don't know if this matters at all, but they're all been Democratic, and not that Logan was good at all, but he was Republican, but at least he didn't negotiate with terrorists. Daniels promises to hold her and Buchanan in the strictest punishment, and Karen swears that Lennox knew nothing about what she was doing, and he says that Karen will be held responsible if the Russians attack their bases. Philip calls Doyle and instructs him to walk with Josh towards the shoreline, And in the darkness, a small boat comes to the shore with two men in wetsuits. Doyle approaches one with his gun raised. The man shows the sub-circuit board, places it on the ground, and when Doyle picks it up, the component explodes, and he is thrown back a few feet from that explosion. The men run and grab Josh, and they run back to the boat and head out to sea. Jack and Buchanan pull up just as Josh is being taken away, and they don't have a clear shot without putting Josh in danger. And the men in the boat fire back as they pull into the water with Josh, and Jack tends to Doyle, whose face is bloodied. Philip has his men scan Josh, and they locate the tracking device in his arm. That's not really a big surprise, considering that all of these tracking devices CTU seems to use are always circumvented. And Chloe sees that they have lost track, and they try a different frequency. And then they come to the conclusion that they located it, and Morris then puts the satellite back up. Jack calls Nadia and tells her that the component was a fake, and Doyle is badly injured, and she is upset by this, and sends medical teams. Lost in his thoughts, Daniels says that he unfairly judged Wayne's handling of the terrorist situation in the past few weeks. And he notes that since Karen was proven right, he may want to pardon her in order to not let his misjudgment come wide out into the open. And Daniel says he will consider it later. And just to clear things out right there, Lennox was the one who said that Karen should be proven she was right, so they may want to pardon her. And the trauma team arrives on the scene and determines that Doyle will probably be blind in at least one eye, possibly both. And Nadia tells Jack that I should have listened to you. Jack believes the small boat must be meeting up with a larger vessel, and suddenly he sees all of the lights out at sea, and Jack asks for the location of oil platforms in the within a 10-mile radius, because his father's company had shelter corporations that owned oil properties. As Chloe goes to search for that, Morris notices that she looks pale. Philip and Shang wait at the Tomol oil platform in the middle of the Pacific, which not necessarily the middle, that would be 1,500 miles offshore, depending on if you're going middle between Asia and the U.S. or Hawaii. But it is only 6 to 8 miles, I believe, offshore. And Philip agrees to hand over the repaired circuit board when he gets his grandson. And he says, "Your mistakes have been totally unacceptable, but China is still my future." And we will later learn that totally is probably his favorite word, as he sees that quite a few times. And as Chloe works, her vision becomes blurry. She heads over to Milo, where she faints, and Morris rushes to her side and calls out for help. With that, the episode ends, and we are thrown into the final episode of probably one of the worst seasons of 24. And with that, we will head on to 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.
The following takes place between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Once again, they started out this episode with some amazing videography. If you listen to the following takes place, you heard the background noise, and you know Sean Callery is just so good with that, and that has been a major high point in the season. I hate to say when the background music is a high point, but it was, and he deserves a lot of credit for the amazing tense moments we get in this due to the music. And on to the episode. The boat carrying Josh arrives at the oil platform, and Josh is angry, but Philip wants to take him away for his own sake, and Josh becomes terrified when he is told that there will be a Chinese sub coming to pick them up in only 30 minutes. As medics work on Doyle, Jack and Buchanan wait for word from CTU. And at CTU, Morris is tending to Chloe, who is in the CTU clinic. The doctor has determined that she is dehydrated and exhausted, but Morris doesn't want to leave her side. Chloe insists that if he really loved her, he would go back to work, and he reluctantly leaves. Nadia finds an oil platform that has been decommissioned, at least by Phillips' company, and Morris runs a thermal scan on it from the satellite, and sure enough, he spots a boat pulling into it. And actually, episode guide for this says he spots the boat pulling into it, but I believe he just spots the bodies, and they do not spot the boat pulling into that. They spot that later at Jack's request. But that aside, Morris checks in with the doctor, who cannot release Chloe's health information to him because he's no longer family unless he gets permission from Chloe. Lennox alerts the vice president that CTU has spotted Philip Bauer on satellite, and Defense Secretary Kanin recommends that Daniels mount an air assault that would take out the entire oil platform, leaving no trace of the component. And Lennox is concerned that Josh would not survive an aerial attack, but Daniels believes the boy is a necessary casualty to prevent an all-out war with Russia, so he orders the two F-18s to strike. As Doyle is loaded into an ambulance, he apologizes for Jack for not listening to him, and Nadia calls Jack to let him know that the White House has ordered an air attack on the oil rig to take place in less than 30 minutes, and although she cannot stop it, she orders Buchanan and Jack back to CTU for a debriefing, and Jack agrees on the phone. When he hangs up, he tells Buchanan he's going to use the CTU helicopter to save Josh because it's wrong to sacrifice an innocent kid, and knowing that he doesn't want that hanging over his head, so Buchanan offers to fly the chopper, and Jack's look expresses his appreciation. The two get in the helicopter that was intended to bring them back to CTU, and Jack draws his gun on the pilot and says, "We're commandeering your helicopter," and the pilot exits the aircraft, and then Buchanan takes over the controls, and they immediately take off. We then see a monitor, which is monitoring the two F-18s that are headed towards the oil platform, and they are just off. They just got off the coast, so I don't know what the scale on that is, but it doesn't look like they're 30 minutes away. It looks like they're more like 2 to 3 minutes away at the speed those things fly. But, you know, they might be flying far away. It just didn't look like that. And then Secretary Kanin warns Daniels that the Russian troops are in formation around the U.S. base, and Daniels asks President Sugarov to hold off attacking their base because he is planning an operation to take out the person with the component. Russia had intercepted a transmission to a Chinese submarine that is off the west coast of America. I think it was 10 miles. And this confirms that what Daniels is planning, and he assures Sugarov that the airstrike is the only way to destroy the component. And Daniels gives him a real-time feed to the assault operation. Morris notifies Nadia that Jack has hijacked the CTU helicopter with Buchanan, and he wants access to their satellite feed. Nadia radios Jack, saying she cannot authorize the suicide mission, and Buchanan chimes in to tell them what they're doing is the right one. And this hits Nadia hard, and she gives Jack the request, and Buchanan thanks her by saying, "You did the right thing." Jack instructs Buchanan to come in low so they can hit the oil rig from the air and land safely on it, and the F-18s lock on the target on their radars. Josh pleads with his grandfather to let him go, and Philip says it is his responsibility to teach him the right things. Chang's men spot the CTU helicopter coming towards them, and Chang cautions Philip to get on a small boat, and the locator beacon will be picked up by the sub. And Chang hands Philip the circuit board and goes outside to see about the chopper. As they reach the platform, Buchanan dives the chopper so Jack can fire with a machine gun at the men on the deck, and then he takes it up and lands on the helipad on the upper level. Jack and Buchanan get out and shoot some of the oil containers, and they cause explosions near the gunman. I don't know if all of them were killed, but Shang wasn't. He is badly burned, though, especially on the face. And Jack demands to know where Josh is, and Shang replies that it is too late. Jack has Buchanan take Shang back to the chopper while he goes looking for his nephew. Buchanan forewarns that they're only 10 minutes away until the F-18s arrive. Philip drags the crying Josh towards the boat and rebukes him for being so immature. Josh lashes out physically, but Philip stops him with a warning that he should not let his emotions control him. Jack makes his way across the deck, taking out all the gunmen he comes across as he searches for Josh. And then Philip and Josh arrive on the bottom level of the oil rig, where Philip puts down his gun so he can lower the boat into the water. Josh grabs the gun and smacks his grandfather in the back of the head. He smacks him in the head with a tool and then says, "I'm not going with you." With that, he picks up the gun, and Philip pleads he's only doing this because he loves him. And Josh fires it, hitting him in the shoulder. Philip falls back, but is still alive and definitely suffering. Jack arrives at the scene and implores Josh to lower the gun because he understands the pain of taking another person's life. It takes Josh a while to drop the gun, but when he does, they embrace and he takes the weapon. And they're wasting a little bit of time here considering the airstrike is only 90 seconds away, and he quickly sends Josh to the waiting helicopter. Jack trains his gun on Philip, gives him a little emotional speech, and Philip wants Jack to just kill him, and Jack refuses, saying, "You are going to be held accountable for what you have done today." And Philip notes that Jack will not have time to carry him with the impending airstrike, and he knows Jack won't want to die alongside him, and Jack realizes he is right and says, "You're going to get off easy," as he walks away, leaving Philip to die. Nadia radios Buchanan he has 90 seconds to get off the platform before the F-18s hit. Josh reaches the helicopter, and Buchanan releases the hanging ladder from the chopper door. At the time, I didn't notice what this was. I was wondering what he was doing, but it would later come in handy. Buchanan gets confirmation that the fighter planes are in range and have their missile lock, and he requests to take it out. Buchanan takes control of the helicopter and starts to take off. He radios Jack to meet him on the south side of the oil platform, and Jack climbs onto the railing, and when the chopper pulls up, Jack jumps to the ladder, and Buchanan flies off with Jack dangling below. Seconds after this happens, the F-18s launch, I believe, 8 JDAM missiles, and they decimate the oil platforms, definitely killing Philip and anyone else that was on there. And as CTU watches the satellite imagery of the exploding platform, Nadia radios to the helicopter, and Buchanan confirms they got out alive with Jack, Josh, and Shang. And obviously Shang didn't hear or see any of this going on, as we will later learn. And Nadia breathes a sigh of relief. Kanin reports that the target has been completely destroyed, and Suvorov sees this on their feed and orders a withdrawal of his troops. And the two leaders acknowledge their truce regardless of the strain on the relationship. As the chopper makes its way across the ocean, Jack deliberately lets go of the ladder and falls into the water. Josh thinks he didn't mean to, and Buchanan turns back and sweeps the searchlight over the darkness, but Josh is relieved to see Jack swim back towards the shore. And I thought it would have... As bad as this is, it would be kind of funny if one of these, you see the waves and Jack would go under the wave and you just see his body float up and they zoom in and there's a bloody gash on his head from a rock down there. That would kind of be ironic that he thought he was all safe and then he can kill all these terrorists, but the thing that takes his life is the ocean. The Chinese recall their submarines and Daniels wants China to know that the Americans are aware of their activities. And he says he wants some of the American subs to shadow them, and he will address the Chinese another day. Lennox advises that the vice president allow Karen and Buchanan to resign without with their reputations intact, because the administration has already been cast under a long shadow with all the recent terrorist attacks. And Daniels agrees, and Lennox hands over the tape recording that incriminated him trying to take down Wayne. Morris checks on Chloe because the doctor won't give him any news, and he says he still loves her, only realizing this after she collapsed, and he thought he was going to lose her. Chloe convinces that she is pregnant, and Morris's son, but he is still happy. Lennox visits Karen in the holding cell and tells her that Buchanan and she and Buchanan are being pardoned, and she smiles and thanks him because she knew that he played a part in her release. Buchanan arrives at CTU with Josh and Chang. Marilyn runs to hug her son, and Buchanan has Chang sent to a detention faculty, where he says, "My people will not abandon me like you abandoned Jack Bauer." So, I guess he didn't see or hear either Jack get saved. He thought Jack got killed on the oil rig, or he thought that Jack died when he fell off the ladder. So, obviously, he is the one that the joke is on. And then Nadia inquires about Jack, but Buchanan says that he didn't want to be rescued, and if he doesn't want to be found, he will never be found. And James Heller is brought back into the picture when he's at his home, dealing with the stress of his day and his daughter's recovery. The music here played a big role. The music got very tense, and with that, I knew someone was going to come in. I didn't think it would be Jack, but it turned out it was Jack. With his wet clothes still on his body, he asks for Audrey. And this was a very big part, and I think the later part of the season. So I'll give you that entire audio clip.
Are you here to kill me?
Depends. Where's Audrey?
I told you before, you're not getting anywhere near my door.
You do not tell me what to do anymore! Do you understand me? You do not tell me what to do! I just watched my father die. And I felt nothing. You know why? Yeah. You know why? Because that man was dead to me years ago. I admired you. I looked up to you like a father. You were the kind of man I wanted to be, and you took advantage of it!
Jack, listen to me.
No! You are gonna listen to me! Earlier today, you said that I was cursed. That anyone I touched ended up dead or ruined. How dare you? How dare you? The only thing I did, the only thing I have ever done, is what you and people like you have asked of me. Why didn't you try to get me out of China?
I did try.
Not hard enough! You had the political power. Was the timing not right? Was a little too complicated? Or was I just an acceptable loss?
Jack, I understand your anger.
Shut up! You don't understand a thing about me. But I know you. I know why you're angry at me. And it wasn't because Audrey went to China to save me. It was because when you told her not to, she did it anyway. You'll never understand that kind of commitment. That kind of loyalty.
You're right, Jack. It wasn't fair of me to put all this on you, to blame you for what happened to Audrey. I know the sacrifices you've made. I know this country owes you more than it'll ever repay.
I'm not interested in what you think this country owes me. I want my life back, and I want it now. Audrey's all I've got. And you can't stop me. In case you've forgotten, I'm very good at disappearing. And if you try sending someone after us, I'll kill him. Pretty good at that, too.
Simply getting your life back, Jack, isn't going to change who you are. And you can't walk away from it. You know that. You've tried it. Sooner or later, you're going to get back in the game. And my daughter's going to pay the price, like your wife did.
You son of a bitch.
Jack, I beg you, just stop for a moment and think. Think, Jack. You won't be able to take care of her the way you want to.
Where is she? Take me to her now. I know that I promise to take care of you and protect you. But I'm at a crossroads. Right now, the best way the only way to do that is to let you go. I hope one day you can understand that.
With that, Jack walks out of the room, walks by Heller, who he gave a weird look. I don't know if that was just because Heller was standing outside the door the whole time or what, but he heads outside to their little deck overlooking the ocean, which is 100 to 200 feet down, and it was weird. I didn't really think Jack was going to commit suicide because we still got one more, maybe even two more years left on his contract. So that would be a waste of money for Fox. But with that, the episode ends, and we have a not horrible, but not the best season to hold us over for 7 months. But they did mention that season 7 promises to be the best. So let's see if they can come through with that promise. I hope they do, and when we return, we will have the character countdowns for episode 23 and 24. Oh, and there's no beeping here because we got the silent countdown on the final episode of 24 for Season 6. We'll start out episodes 23, character countdown from watching 24, with Tom Lennox. He got plus 5 for offering to look the other way if Karen decided to help Jack behind the VP's back. He also agreed with Karen when she said that Jack had been the most right today. That was 5 points. And vouched for Karen and Bill and wanted the VP to let them resign peacefully plus 10 for a net gain of 20, leaving him with a total of 115 going into the final episode. Bill Buchanan came into this with 166 points. He got 5 points for helping Karen and Jack. He did a little recapping, plus 3, and the best recapping was when he recapped the whole agent's career and how he had trained him, plus 5. With a net gain of 13, leaving him with 179. Nadia Yassir came into this with 117 points, and after everything that happens today, she's still trying to follow stupid orders, minus 5. Questioned Karen when she asked about Jack, minus 5. Didn't smack Marilyn Bauer, who was acting like a loon, minus 6. And found out from Milo's brother that Milo saved her because he loved her, plus 4 for a net loss of negative or a net gain of negative 12, I guess it would be. Current total going into the 24th episode is 105. Jack Bauer came into this with an astounding 618 points. He got put into CTU custody, minus 3. Pistol whips people like it's nothing. And then, have you ever noticed that TV and movie characters always know the exact amount of pressure and where to hit someone to knock them out cold for the exact period of time they need to do whatever they need to do? Plus 5. For a net gain of 2 for a total of 620. Chloe came into this with 219, and she told Jack about the trade Philip Bauer was doing for Josh, plus 3, and fainted in from her extreme paleness, minus 5, for a net loss of 2 with the current total of 217. Morse came into this with 106 points and is apparently the most observant person in the entire world. He was able to point out that Chloe was, quote, "You look a little pale," and how do you do that? She always looks a little pale. Wow, Morse has great eyes for detail, plus 8 for a net gain of 8. Current total is 114. Vice President Noah Daniels had to apologize with his tail between his legs to the Russian president, minus 5, and came to the harsh realization that he has possibly been the worst president since Richard Nixon, minus 8, for a net loss of 13 points for a current total of negative 21. And Karen Hayes knew the vice president's plan to hand Josh over for the chip was insane and wouldn't work, plus 5. Said that Jack has been more right than anyone today, plus 5, plus 8. Got Bill back and involved with the show, plus 5. And got information on where Jack was from Nadia by bossing her around, plus 6. And got arrested, minus 6, for a net gain of 18, leaving her with 130. And Mike Doyle came in with 100 points. And just some of the worst acting I've ever seen. It was bad this episode with Doyle, minus 5. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what Aaron from Watching 24 says, and that's what we'll say. Was willing to take a chance to get the boy back if he could, plus 8, and had a case blow up in his face. I think it's time to learn Braille, Doyle, minus 9, for a net loss of 6, with his current total of 94. The leaderboard heading into the final episode of 24, Jack Bauer with 620, Chloe O'Brien with 217, Bill Buchanan with 161, Karen Hayes with 130, Tom Lennox with 115, Morris O'Brien with 114, Nadia Yassir with 105, Mike Doyle with 94, Charles Logan is right here in fifth from last for I don't know what reason. President Wayne Palmer has 72. Milo is at 0. Sandra is at negative 7. And Powers Booth, or the Vice President, Noah Daniels, has negative 21. Special awards. Low Flying Award goes to the pilot of the CTU helicopter at the beginning. He looked like he was skimming the water. That was pretty dang cool. I have to agree, and I mentioned that earlier. Worst locating devices ever award goes to CTU along with their so-called perimeters. CTU tracking devices never work. They're so easily disabled. What's even the point? And to add to that, that's a lot of money they are spending on those high-tech devices that never work. Worst music choice award goes to whoever picked the Harry Potter type music when they showed up at the oil rig. That was real cheesy, I thought. Well, I didn't think that. Aaron did. I thought it was actually pretty good, and that was, of course, Sean Callery, who does all the music, and I'm sure he thought up that one, too. And pointless plot award number one goes to Milo's brother, or the Milo brother subplot that served nothing more than to take up about 5 minutes. That's it for episode 23, and we will have episode 24 right after this. So now for the 24 character countdown from episode 24. Tom Lennox came into this with 115, and he stood up for Josh when the airstrike was announced, plus 5, and totally turned his character around 180 degrees, plus 10, for a net gain of 15 points. with his season total at 130. Bill Buchanan came into this with 179, and he can fly helicopters, who knew, plus 6, and perfect ladder placement for Jack when he had to jump off the exploding oil rig, plus 9, for a total gain of 15, leaving him with 194. Nadia Yassir came into this with 105 and is still looking pretty good, even though she has a scar on her face, plus 2, for a gain of 2. Leaving her with 107. Jack Bauer came into this with 620. He commandeered a CTU helicopter, plus 5, took tons of people out on the oil rig platform by blowing up flammable canisters, plus 8, made it awfully hard to tally up the final kill count, minus 3. How do you like your Chang, regular or extra crispy, plus 8, didn't put a bullet in Philip Bauer's head when he had the chance, minus 6, jumped off an exploding oil rig, all in a day's work for Jack Bauer, plus 5, took a swim in the ocean, plus 2, can kill countless people and save the world a dozen times, but he still can get totally owned by a wave, minus 4, showed up at Heller's house unannounced. It's a great thing Heller lives about 5 minutes away, walking distance, plus 3, if you remember, Bill left his car up there, so he could have taken that. Gave a rousing Jason Bourne-esque speech to Heller, plus 5. Said goodbye to Audrey, even though he didn't want her. He didn't want to, plus 6. And stared out in the ocean and thought about nothing in particular, minus 1. For a net gain of 28, leaving him with 648. Lily came into this with 217, and she lost 8 for being pregnant, for a total loss of 8, and a total at the end of the season of 209. Morris came into this with 114, and he felt bad for Chloe's paleness, plus 2, is out of the medical knowledge loop because he's the ex-husband, minus 2, and found out that his boys can swim. Plus 9 for a net gain of 9, leaving him with 123. Vice President Noah Daniels came into this with negative 21, and he confirmed an airstrike on the oil rig, plus 2, and dropped all charges against Bill and Karen, plus 15, for a net gain of 17, still leaving him at negative 4. Karen came into this with 130, and she got the charges dropped, plus 5, for a net gain of 5, leaving her with 135. Mike Doyle came into this with 94, and the terrible acting continued even with the blind Doyle. Get the kid, Jack, get the kid. Minus 5 for a net loss of 5, and a total of 89. Once again, I didn't think his acting was that bad. And for the final leaderboard, we have Jack Bauer with 648, Chloe O'Brien with 209, Bill Buchanan with 194, Karen Hayes with 135, Tom Lennox with 130, Morris O'Brien with 123, Nadia Yassir with 107, Mike Doyle with 89, and in ninth place with unlisted amount of points is Charles Logan. Wayne Palmer has 72. Milo has 0, Vice President Powers Booth has negative 4, and Senator Palmer has negative 7. And the special awards, pointless storyline number 2 award goes to Chloe being pregnant. That's all we need for next season, an entire subplot of Chloe managing her baby. All around, the pregnancy was just a stupid idea, more suited for Grey's Anatomy. And take that, Grandpa award goes to Josh. Nailed his gramps with a wrench and then shot him in the shoulder. Now that's some good old-fashioned family love there. Way to go, Josh. And, of course, you can find all of this at watching24.com. If you are listening to the Enhanced Podcast in iTunes or streaming from our site, you can just click the link and it will take you to that post on their site. So that's a nice little feature. And thanks to Aaron over there at the Watching 24 with the 24 character countdown. They have a few other great features, like the Jack Bauer kill count, and they have relatively short episode reviews, so that's very nice. And no, they're not a sponsor. I just love the blog. I asked Aaron if I could put this on, and he said yeah. So please head over there and support him. Great 24 blog. And that's it for this episode. And for this season, hopefully we will be back next season. I've not decided yet. It's been very time consuming, and that's been shown off by my lack of episodes. I think I've missed 5 or 6. And if I do it next year, you will not be missing one. But we'll see as we get closer to the season. So 7 months away, and we get a promise for the best season yet. And hopefully they can come through with that promise. That's all, and I'll see you all next time, assuming I do it next time. And if I choose to, there will definitely be Mid-Hiatus Podcast like we did over this season.